the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special day on the Gospel Hour. Yes, it's Valentine's Day, but for us, it is my father's birthday, February the 14th. He was a Valentine's baby, and we love to remember him as a person, as my father, as a great, great minister for God on this day. So if you will, say a special prayer for the ministry in honor of my dad. We would really appreciate it. Of course, we are continuing with our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John as preached by my late father. But just before that, we're going to hear another song that was his, what he believed all the way. My Savior leads me, and he certainly led my dad throughout his life. Enjoy the music, and then Dr. Green.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, hear my faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all.
Here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Now, gracious Heavenly Father, lead us as we open thy word to study today. Honor thy word, the precious name of Jesus, the shed blood of his cross, and save some precious soul today for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm reading today in John chapter 20. Now, we read the first 10 verses 2 or 3 days ago, and then I read them. Of course, this is the third or fourth time. So I'm not going to read all the verses. We are discussing the resurrection of Jesus and the bodily resurrection of the saints. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now, to save a moment of time, she ran and she told Peter and John. Peter and John ran to the tomb. John outrun Peter. He arrived first. He went in. He didn't go in, but Peter arrived and he went in, and they found that Jesus was not there, the body of Jesus. They found the napkin and the linen cloths, but Jesus was not there. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. Now, I said 3 days ago that the resurrection of Jesus is a divine imperative if we are saved. His sinless life could not save us. His shed blood could not save us alone. That is, if Jesus had not come back from the dead, we would have no salvation today. You see, that's what liberals and modernists teach. Jesus was a great man. He died for a great cause. He was the founder of a great religion. Christianity is not a great religion. Christianity is the only true religion if we would go where Jesus is. Now, I've said often on the radio, you can write yourself a Bible and name yourself a religion. Start one. Build one. But if you want to go where Jesus is, you must go Jesus' way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, on the three broadcasts previous to this one, we have discussed 1 Corinthians down through we read down through verses about 30. Now, today, I want us to read verse 35 and answer a question concerning the resurrection. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Now, you see, the Bible is a complete book. All Scripture is inspired. All Scripture is profitable, and all that we need to know, we find in the Bible. I mean about spiritual matters. We find the answer to Bible questions in the Bible. You can't get Bible answers to Bible questions anywhere except in the Bible. You ask ministers, teachers, professors, and religious leaders, and I'll guarantee you, you'll never know where you are. But some man will say, how are the dead raised? Now, that is just as timely as can be, because there are men asking today, how are the dead raised, and with what body they come? Now, look, thou fool. Brother, let me tell you something now. If you think I am plain and in just everyday language, rough and tough, if you think I am plain, you read the Bible and you'll find the clearest language that you've ever heard, and you'll find plain statements with no sugar coating, no chocolate covering, no frills, no sir. It's not dressed up. The Holy Spirit said through the pen of the Apostle Paul, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Now, Jesus preached down to earth. He got right down where people live. He talked about, he said the ox knoweth his owner. He said an ox gets in the ditch, you pull him out. He said the old mother hen, she calls her chickens under her wings. Of course, Jesus said, as a hen gathereth her chickens. He talked about the lilies of the field. He talked about the sower. He talked about the things that we understand. Now, the Holy Ghost explaining the resurrection, answering. Now, I'm quoting, thou fool. I didn't say I wouldn't call a man a fool. No, sir. Men do foolish things. Men live the lives of foolishness, but the Bible simply says, thou fool. Now, he said, you're foolish. You're foolish to ask such a question. Now, he said, that which thou sowest is not quickened, and that means made alive. It does not live unless it die. Now, I was reared on the farm, and I'm preaching to thousands of farmers, and some people may not understand fully the meaning here, but if you'll listen just a moment, I think you will. It makes no difference whether you plant wheat, corn, flowers. It doesn't make any difference what you plant. When you put a seed in the ground, it dies before it lives. Now, that sounds crazy, but that isn't crazy. That's the truth. The seed must die. The shell must rot. Now, did you know this body? You've never seen Oliver Green. you folks who have seen in the pulpit a personality named Oliver Green, you've never seen Oliver Green. You've seen the shell, the house, the tabernacle. Oliver Green is on the inside. That eternal spirit, that never dying spirit is on the inside. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And it'll be a happy day in the lives of some of you Christians when you realize and recognize that God saved your spirit, your body. Your body will hurt and ache and suffer and get old and wrinkle and die and decay if Jesus tarries. And if he doesn't tarry, you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Flesh and blood cannot, will not, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Or heaven, the kingdom of God, or heaven. Flesh and blood cannot go where Jesus is. Now here's what I'm trying to show you. It's foolish to ask, with what body is the resurrection? Some will say, how are the dead raised up? How are the dead? Now, we plant a seed and we expect a living plant. We put seed in the ground. When I was on the farm, we planted corn, wheat, barley, oats. We put the seed in the ground and we expected life. But the seed must be put in the ground. Now you can take a sack of corn, put it up on a shelf, and leave it there. And I'll guarantee you it'll never come alive, never. But you take the corn and turn the ground and put the corn in the ground and it'll die and then it lives. It produces life. The shell rots and the heart of that grain of corn or wheat or flour seed, doesn't make any difference. The heart produces life. Now listen, Jesus died, but he was different. He was not born in sin. He was born of the Virgin, but he was not born in sin. He was sinless. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He didn't commit sin. He was made a curse. He was not a curse, but he was made a curse for us that we might have life. The death of Jesus was a divine imperative if we would be made alive. You remember back in John 12, we studied the Greeks came to Jesus, verses 20, 21, and 22. Certain Greeks came to Jesus and they wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus answered, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, Jesus was that corn of wheat. I said, and I say again, his life on earth did not save us. His death on the cross alone could not have saved us, because if he had died and remained in the grave, he would have been no more than hundreds of other martyrs. There have been many great men burned at the stake. There have been many great men fed to lions and tigers and butchered and their heads chopped off. Jesus was not a martyr. Jesus was the Lamb of God. He didn't die for a great cause. He didn't die for a religious cause. He died on the cross, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the sinless one, that he might bring forth much fruit. So he was planted. He was put in the tomb. His body did not see corruption. He died. Physically, he died, but his body did not see corruption because he had done no sin. There was no guile in him. But he was put in the tomb. And he said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of, in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And that literally happened. Now, it was necessary that Jesus be planted as we're planted. But he was raised, and because he was raised, we will be raised. Now let me go on down just a little further here. I'm reading 1 Corinthians 15:37. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may be wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now I want to show you something that we don't see in passing lightly. We don't see it. We just read it. We accept it. That is, those of us who have lived on the farm and those of us who really have been men of the soil and we've seen this thing in action, we don't think about this. But did you know? Did you know? Are you listening? Did you know? God is so big that God speaks and a world comes into existence. God speaks and the planets are formed in their courses and they stay there. God speaks worlds into existence, and God speaks planets into existence. But did you know that God is not only so great that he can do that? God is so little. Now, don't misunderstand me. God is so little, so concerned about this earth, that God gives every grain of wheat that dies, every little grain of wheat that the farmer puts in the ground, every grain of corn, barley, rye, oats, whatever, when you put that grain in the ground, God gives that little seed a new body. Think of it. Think of it, beloved. Think of it. Think of it. No wonder he compared the mustard seed, or if you had the faith of the grain of mustard seed, the least seed, a grain of mustard seed. If we had as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, the Bible says you could remove mountains. Think of that. Now, when a seed is planted, and the seed dies, and the shell rots, it decays, it rots, God gives that seed a new body. What do you think of that? And do you think if God gives the grain, every seed that the farmers put in the ground, and when the pine seed and the other seeds fall from the trees, and they rot, they decay, they die, and God gives that little seed a new body, do you think he is more concerned about seeds than he is sons? We are sons of God. And in spite of the fact that there are tens of thousands of people in America who are church members, religionists, they belong to religions, they profess to be religious, in spite of the fact that they deny the resurrection, one of these grand and glorious days, my little baby that we put in the ground, 2 days old he died, my little son, the first little son in our family, died at the age of 2 days. My dad has gone on to be with the Lord. My dad is resting in paradise. His body is in a grave just across the way. Now, one of these days, my little boy and my daddy and my little brother that died at the age of 2 years old, my little brother, and thousands of my friends, every believer, praise God, will come out of the tomb, the body. The spirit is with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the split second that a believer dies, the spirit goes to God. The body goes back to the dust, back to the grave and to the dust. Now, one of these glorious mornings, every body of every saint that has died, their body will come forth a new body, a grand and glorious body like Jesus' body. Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, in that we should be called the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know, we are sure, we know that when he shall appear, when Jesus shall come, we shall be like him, we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. So we'll have a body like his body, and that's good enough for me, praise God. Read on now. God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now, did you know wheat has its body, oats its body, barley, corn, cotton, and of course any other seed that you plant, God gives it a body. Now, we will have a glorified body, a body of flesh and bones, but not corruptible flesh. This corruptible must put on incorruption. Our new body will never get sick, it'll never hurt. Now, you hear me well. Listen to me very carefully. The most dedicated, consecrated, spirit-filled, separated believer on the face of the earth, if Jesus tarries, that believer will get sick and hurt and die. And their loved ones will carry them to the graveyard and lower them in the ground or put them in a crypt in a mausoleum. Now, I don't care who you are. I don't care how godly you are. I don't care how holy you are. You live in a body that's going to decay just as sure as God is in heaven. Now, watch it. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind, flesh of men, fish, flesh of beasts and fishes and birds, you see. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now, you see, when Jesus walked upon this earth, he had a body just exactly like yours, except no sin. He was hungry, he was tired, he was thirsty, he was weary, he shed tears, he wept, and he did everything that we do except sin. He didn't sin. Jesus had a body just like yours. But then when he came out of the tomb, He said, Mary, and we'll read that little lady, said, Mary, don't touch me. It's in John chapter 20. Mary, don't touch me yet. I have not ascended to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Now, when Jesus came out of that tomb, he was in a body, and Mary knew that he was a man, and he could walk and talk, but he said, don't touch me yet. But then, after he ascended to the Father, when he returned, they held his feet and they worshiped him. They did touch him. And Jesus said, do you have any meat? Do you have anything here to eat? And he took broiled fish and honeycomb and he ate in their presence. So that's the kind of a body that Jesus had when he came out of the tomb. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, and raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Notice it doesn't say the second Adam. We talk about the first Adam and the second Adam. No, it's the first Adam and the last Adam. The last Adam was Jesus, and the last Adam bought back all that the first Adam sold out to the devil. So, we read, the last Adam was a spiritual man. Howbeit, now let me read that again. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. See, that is a spirit that makes alive. And the spirit that raised up Jesus will also quicken your mortal bodies. And they'll become immortal. We will be immortal. And we'll have a glorious body. Not a body of corruption, but a body that cannot corrupt. Just like Jesus' body. Now, if Jesus did not rise again, neither will you. But if he did rise again, if Jesus did rise again after they buried him in the tomb, then praise God, they that are his will rise in like manner. We'll have a body just like his glorious body. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As the earthy, as is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now you can't save yourself, you must be born again. Righteousness is imputed. You cannot become righteous by godly living. Righteousness is imputed. Now, God is not going to repair the old body. God's going to give us a brand new body, just like Jesus' body. We'll have a new body. Hallelujah. A body that is incorruptible. A body that cannot corrupt, cannot die, cannot decay. But before we get that body, this body must be planted, or in the rapture, it must be changed. Now, Jesus, the first fruits. He is the first fruits. He is the first fruits. And we, who are sons of God by faith in his finished work, we are the fruit of his finished work. And just like a peach tree bears peaches, an apple tree bears apples, since we are sons of God by faith in his shed blood, and since righteousness is imputed and we possess the righteousness of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God, we'll have a body, a glorified body of flesh and bones, just like his glorified body. If you are a believer, you have everything to rejoice about. If you're not, God pity you. Father, honor the word, the name of Jesus, the shed blood, and save every soul that's under conviction. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. I hope you were blessed by the message today. If so, let me know about it. Send me an email or write me a letter or call the office and tell us what this program meant to you. Now, I do have a few minutes left to share with you our gift offer for this week. We call it Gift Offer C. Now, In this offer, I'm going to send you a book of sermons by Dr. Green, a hardback book, plus a very special message on hell that he preached in our local church, the church that he belonged to, the Tabernacle Baptist Church. And finally, another series of live messages by Dr. Green held in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Four messages in all in this series. And all of this is available if you can simply ask for offer C and send the donation to the ministry in the amount of $25 or more. Please send more if you can. And in return, I'm going to send you first the book entitled Three Men, 270 pages long, a hardback book. The sermons are Three Men Who Witnessed and Walked Away from Calvary. Then, Three Deadly Powerful Evils. Also, Three Super Highways That Lead to Hell. And finally, A Farm, A Cow, and A Wife. A very, very interesting sermon, one I really enjoyed. Then we have The Message on Hell, preached by Dr. Green in the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville on December 29th, 1974. Finally, the Chattanooga Sermon Series. Four of the sermons that Dr. Green preached there were recorded, and we were so happy to have that. One of those sermons is the one that's also in the book, Three Men Who Witnessed and Walked Away from Calvary. So to get all of this great material, just ask for offer C and send your gift of at least $25. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.